So our message today comes from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, and I would ask that you rise as we read God's word together. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come here today to hear your words, Lord, make the words that come from me be your words. Lord, help us to hear what you have to say, what your Son has to say. Father, hide me behind the cross so that we may see your Son, for that is who we came to see. We came to see Jesus. And Father, we know that you are here with us, for you have said in Scripture, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Father, I just ask that you remain with us and continue to help us to open our hearts and our minds to your word here today. And we say all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I know many of you know that one of my former jobs was that I used to write parking tickets for the city and county of Denver. And one of the many issues that I had with this job were some of the citizens that I would meet when I was doing my job, because so many of them were just so very happy to receive the gifts that I would leave on their cars. There were many who had some very choice things to say to me, things that I definitely could not repeat here. And there were some incidents, some things that stood out more than others. There was one particular case that I have labeled the case of the mad car salesman. See, it all started one afternoon when I was working in a very affluent part of Denver called Cherry Creek. In this part of town, the residents have a lot of money, and they've basically petitioned the city council to have it set up so they're able to park on the street and have off street, have off property parking along the street. And what I mean by this is on the west side of every avenue in Cherry Creek, it's reserved for residents only. It has a big sign that says CC permits only, tow-away zone. So they have these parking permits that are provided by the city, and if you park on the west side and don't have a proper permit or don't have a proper guest permit, it's a $75 tow-away violation. Well, this particular day, I was doing my job. I came upon this really nice gold Mercedes, and it was parked in the tow-away zone. So I did what I always did. I pulled up, looked at the windshield, no parking permit, wrote a ticket, and then I drove off. This is how it typically went. No big deal, right? Except this was not going to be a normal situation. I had gone maybe two or three more blocks when all of a sudden this gold Mercedes passes by me and pulls over right in front of me. The driver gets out, and he's carrying the ticket that I had issued. And he walks up to my window, and he wanted to know, "What's this ticket for?" And he looked really angry, which is not actually unusual. But then I began to explain why I had issued the ticket. And it was because he didn't have a permit visible. The problem was he cut me off before I could explain any of that to him. See, he then began to explain to me that his friend the mayor had told him that if he stuck this thing in his window, he could park anywhere in Cherry Creek. He then gave me his name. He was a fairly well-known car dealership owner and owned a whole string of car dealerships in the Denver area. Now, mind you, none of that mattered to me, but he thought that it should. I then explained to him that he could take the ticket to court, and if he felt something was wrong, and he said, "Well, that I had to take you. You have to take that ticket back." I informed him that I could not, and then I drove away. That was usually the best way to de-escalate any sort of situation. If you drove away, they didn't want to have to chase you even further. This guy, however, was not going to let it go. He proceeded to follow me for 6 blocks, honking and yelling and screaming at me. And at one point, I slowed down. He pulled up next to me into the oncoming traffic lane and yelled that he needed to talk with me. My mistake was that I did. He pulled over and demanded that I look in his windshield. So I looked in his windshield, and he points to the passenger side, right at the sunshade on the passenger side, and says, "It's right there." And I look really hard, and I see a small sliver, a tiny speck of what might be plastic. And then I told him, I said, whatever permit you say that you have isn't visible. And if it's not visible, it's not valid. He says, "Well, I want you to get out of your Jeep and come take a look at it." I am not about to get out of my Jeep, sir. I'm not about to get out of my Jeep in front of you and all your anger. I said, "You know, take it to the judge," and I drove off. Apparently, that was too far for him, because then he pulled in front of me and blocked me, got out of his vehicle carrying his cell phone and what appeared to be a valid guest permit, and he's yelling at me, "I'm on the phone with the mayor's office. You better tell them that I have a permit and that you're going to take this ticket back." Well, I, at this point, called my manager, explained to them what was going on, and I was told to go back to the office. And it turns out that this man really was friends with the mayor, and that I didn't have to take the ticket back, which was what surprised me, but I was told that I wasn't allowed to work in the Cherry Creek area anymore. Have you ever met someone who felt that entitled? Have you ever acted, I mean, without even thinking about it, like that someone who's that entitled? That's a hard question to face, isn't it? I mean, we have all met someone who acted like this, who acted that entitled. But to face the idea that we ourselves could be like that, it's not an easy thing to come to grips with, is it? The idea that we could act that mean, that entitled, like we deserve that, that we could somehow treat others as if we are better than they are and that we deserve better than they do, or that we deserve better than what we're receiving. Sometimes we don't even know that we're acting that way. Because we do. We believe that we're good people. We try to do the right things. We treat others with love. We give to the poor. We work hard for what we have. We train our children to treat others with respect. So we often sometimes see ourselves as good people. And we thank God for our blessings. How many of us in our daily prayers thank God for his great provision? We thank him for all the good things that he has given us and for the good life that we get to live. And that's kind of what we see in our passage, right? The Pharisee is thanking the Lord for what he has. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." I mean, that is kind of what he's saying, isn't it? "God, I thank you that I'm blessed, that I don't have to rob, and that I don't have to face the trials of sin like some do. Thank you that I'm a good person, and therefore I'm entitled to good things. You know, I go to church, I give to the homeless. I'm not like those who don't go. I'm not like those who sin all the time." You know, unfortunately, we sin just like this Pharisee too. There are times, even though we try to avoid it, where we act pridefully. We act like we're entitled. And we're warned about this in Scripture. Romans 11, 17 through 21, Paul makes this analogy when he talks about us being grafted into the faith. "If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this: you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will then say, 'Branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in.' Well, that's granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. I know this comes across as mean. And then in some ways, it's kind of shocking to us. It's shocking to be called entitled. You know, and to the Jews in Jesus' time, when this parable was being given to them, this parable was extremely shocking to them. This parable is one that many of us, we've heard so many times, we're familiar with it, right? We've heard it before. We know that the Pharisee is called out by Jesus, and we know why, because he's haughty, right? Because our passage says someone who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. But to those in Jesus' day, this prayer that the Pharisee offers was what was expected of that Pharisee. To them, what was shocking was that Jesus was saying that the Pharisee was not justified. And we got to wonder, why would they see it that way? You know, I read in the commentary, and this is what he wrote. He said, Jesus' people considered it pious to thank God for one's righteousness rather than taking credit for it for oneself. The hearers of this parable would not think of the Pharisee as boastful, but rather as grateful to God for his piety. In the mind of the Pharisee and his society, he is grateful to God. But the Pharisee, he essentially feels that he's entitled to his piety. He feels entitled to his place in society. Because as he himself says, you know, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. And to first century Jews, this Pharisee is righteous because in all appearances, he fulfills. Well, actually, no, it looks to them like he exceeds the demands of the law. He fasts more than others. He gives more. The reason that Jesus is saying that the Pharisee is not righteous is so shocking to them. And the reason is because to most first century Jews, the tax collectors were the ultimate form of sinner. We know that they were known for taking more than they were supposed to, and in many cases, keeping it for themselves. And so to these first century Jews, this Pharisee was the epitome of righteousness because he was able to present himself inside the temple as a righteous man. But was he? Did his offerings and works make him more righteous than the tax collector? Do our offerings and works make us more righteous than the person next to us? You know, if we read Psalm 51, verses 16 through 7, this is what David says. He says, as he's praying to the Lord, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." A broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. When I think about my sin, when I think about the times that I've claimed that I deserved something, when I've claimed that I deserve good things, I'm convicted by those words. Because it is then that I remember that the only reason that I have anything is because the Lord has mercy. That Jesus came to give us mercy. A mercy that we don't deserve, that we're not entitled to. But he gives it to us out of his great love for us. And we see it in our passage. You know, but the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And that is what we all can do. We can all come to our Heavenly Father and beg for his mercy, and he gives it. He lavishes his mercy and his love upon us. And we know this because he tells us this. In our passage, we read it when he says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. When we see and recognize our sinfulness, we come to the Lord repentant. And we beg him for mercy, and he gifts it to us. He gifted it to us through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. When we come to him as the humbled, when we come before him humbled, and the exaltation that we receive is the forgiveness of our sins. We're reminded of this from our reading this morning in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That day when the car salesman was chasing me around and screaming at me, he certainly had no problem displaying his entitlement. He let me know in no uncertain terms that he deserved to be treated better than to receive a ticket from a low-rate meter maid on a power trip. Those were his words, not mine. And I still pray for him. Because had it been me in that situation, prior to knowing who Jesus is, I might have reacted in the same way. Our entitlement belief that we deserve to be saved by our works is a product of our sinfulness. But our gift from Christ, the gift of grace, is an entitlement that Christ bestowed upon us. When we humble ourselves and lay our sins bare before him, it's also that he would forgive us, and he does. So that he would take our sins upon himself for our sake and for our salvation, that is the only reason we have any entitlement to Christ. It's because of his love for us. And because he found us worthy. So worthy that he was willing to give up his very life so that we may have it in him. That we may have life in our Savior Jesus. Would you pray with me? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Thank you that in our pride, when we recognize our own sin, your Son has already taken that sin from us. He has already paid the price for it so that we may be forgiven. Lord, help us to write that gift upon our hearts and to take it to others, Lord, and share that with them so that they, Lord, may also know the gift that has been given to them, that they may also be forgiven and be able to forgive. Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, and we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.